Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her.
As much as I love our United Methodist history and tradition, there is so much that I admire and appreciate about other traditions as well. Quite a few of you come from Catholic backgrounds, and one of the things that I like about Catholicism is the way in which it centers Mary. We Protestants make a little nod toward Mary every once in a while, and it's usually just at this time of year, as we approach Christmas. But I'm always glad when we come to these passages that allow us to spend some time contemplating Mary and her role in this remarkable story. And I know that I'm not alone in being intrigued by Mary. Some of you, I imagine, have traveled to the Holy Land and made a stop in Nazareth at the Church of the Annunciation. The entire church, inside as well as outside in the courtyard, holds images that come from our scripture passage for today. Almost every country in the world has contributed a mosaic that depicts Mary with its own national and cultural characteristics. It's very moving and spiritual and emotional to take it all in. People from all over, I think, every place and every tradition are drawn toward or have some curiosity about Mary. And truth be told, Mary really wasn't much of anybody in her day and age. That's part of what makes the story remarkable. Mary was from an out-of-the-way place with no particular name or status. She was young, engaged to be married, but not yet wed. And we're told in our scripture passage that God directed the angel Gabriel to go to Mary and let her know that God intended to include her in God's plan to change the world. You know how the story goes. Gabriel approaches Mary and reassures her that she's found favor with God. Gabriel lets her know about this upcoming and out-of-wedlock pregnancy and birth that would result in the arrival of the Son of God, the Savior they were awaiting. Mary says, "Hold on a minute. How can that be?" Gabriel provides a little more information, communicates to Mary that her relative, Elizabeth, who is old and far beyond childbearing years, is pregnant with none other than John the Baptist. And then Gabriel offers this reassurance, for nothing will be impossible with God. And of all the things we can dwell on in this account, it's this phrase, for nothing will be impossible with God, that I want us to sit with for just a few minutes. Because what's curious to me is how the phrase is phrased, what it does and doesn't say. For example, it doesn't say, for all things will be possible with God. And why not? That would have been a nice way to say it. Why not make it into a positive statement? Why did Gabriel phrase it the way that he did? For nothing will be impossible with God. I don't really have any idea, but I can say that it kind of appeals to the pessimist in me. Because how often do I say or think, that's impossible? How often do we? I'm inclined to believe it's our human nature. There was even a television show way back when called That's Impossible. It's hard for us to believe stuff that's unbelievable, whether it's good or bad. If you told me last February what the rest of the year would hold, I would probably have said, that's impossible. People way back when contemplating things like the light bulb or air travel or television said, that's impossible. In general, we're kind of see it to believe it people. I'm not believing it until it's right in front of me. It sounds impossible. And while Mary doesn't outright say that's impossible, when Gabriel tells her she'll bear the Son of God, she does offer a more polite interjection asking, how can that be? Gabriel offers this reassurance to her questioning mind and heart, to our questioning minds and hearts, essentially saying, to you who look and first see the impossible, let me tell you, nothing will be impossible with God. And really what we learn from this encounter between Gabriel and Mary is that God is actually most likely to work in ways that seem unlikely, that seem unreasonable, that seem downright impossible. We begin to understand that that's God's modus operandi. So God doesn't necessarily show up in the expected and well-known and well-traveled places. God doesn't necessarily work through the people who are recognized with power and influence and prestige. No, God is altogether likely to work in ways that challenge our every expectation. And here in these first whispers about a Savior's imminent arrival, God begins God's work at the margins, not in the well-known places, not with the well-known powerful people. God begins with women, two women, Mary, young, unwed, unremarkable in many ways, and Elizabeth, old, barren, the bearer of shame in her culture for not being able to have a child. Nothing, Gabriel says, nothing will be impossible with God. And another thing we might take note of in terms of this phrase is that it also doesn't say nothing will be impossible for God. And certainly that's true. That's a true statement. Nothing's impossible for God. I don't know exactly how that all works, and it can lead to a lot of interesting theological questions and conversation, but I do believe it. But that's not how the angel Gabriel said it. Gabriel said, nothing will be impossible with God. And that with seems to me to carry a great deal of significance because it reminds us of something about God and it reminds us of something about us. It reminds us that God is a God of partnership. God doesn't write the story and then set it into motion, grab some popcorn, and then sit back to watch it all unfold as scripted. God didn't send Gabriel to inform Mary that she was already with child. God sent Gabriel to let Mary know that she was favored and that God was already with her. God sent Gabriel to let Mary in on the wonderful plan, but it was only after Mary said, "Yes, here I am," that the story continued to unfold. God is a God of with. God is a God of partnership. And for whatever reason, God chooses to involve us funny, quirky, fallible human beings in God's big, big plans. And on the flip side of that, we are reminded by this statement that nothing will be impossible with God, that God, in God's partnering with us, enables us to do and be what initially might seem or feel impossible. I imagine that after Gabriel departed, after the vision was gone and the voice stopped speaking and the bright light dissipated, and Mary was making her way along life's plain old path again, that she might have had a moment of thinking, "Wow, is this really happening? Is this possible?" And we know that it is. We know how the story unfolds. We know that with God, in partnership with God, Mary bore this child, a child that would embody God's own self to bring divine presence and hope and salvation to places and people in deep need. And what a good reminder that with God, all things will be possible in our world, in our here and now as well. Because how many times do we bump up against something that feels just impossible? We hear others and we hear ourselves saying things like, "I don't think I can possibly wait 2 or 3 or 6 more months to get out of this COVID lockdown. I don't think I can endure one more piece of bad news from the doctor. I don't believe I can make it through this divorce. I don't know how I can possibly weather these financial challenges. I'm not sure it's possible to reverse the tide of climate change. I don't see how our country can move toward healing around the prejudice and injustice that's so deeply rooted in our culture. I'm not even sure I can get out of bed today." There are times in all of our lives when things seem impossible, unbearable, undoable. And so it means something when we are reminded that all things will be possible with God. In drawing near to God, in allowing God to draw near to us, the impossible becomes more possible. Singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer has a song called "Impossible Until It's Not." And one of the lines in that song says that impossible just takes a little more time. That feels hopeful and true to me. And it speaks to the last thread that I want to lift up this morning about this phrase, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And that is that it doesn't say nothing is impossible with God. Did you notice that? It says nothing will be impossible with God. It reminds us that God is not only at work in the past and the present, but that God will be working, is already working in the future as well. So it's true, there are days, and we've probably all had our fair share of them this year, when things seem like a wreck, too much to bear. This might be one of those days for us. But we are reminded by heavenly angelic voices, by the witness of a young, faithful, and courageous woman to hang on, to hold on, and to know without a doubt that the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who will not abandon us, the God who enlists us in holy endeavors is coming once again this Christmas in the flesh to hold on to us, to our world, and to guide us into light, into peace, into justice, into perfect love. Impossible? Hold on. Nothing will be impossible with God, who tenaciously and tenderly holds on to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join our hearts and our spirits together as we go to God in this time of prayer. Will you pray with me? O come, Emmanuel. We are nearing the end of Advent and we feel the closeness of Christmas now right at hand. We thank you for this holy season of Advent that has reminded us to pause, to take a deep breath, to look up and down, around and within. We thank you for the season of Advent that encourages us to prepare not just our homes, but our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we might receive fully the gift that is you. We thank you for this season of Advent that turns our attention not only inward, but that also prompts us to turn outward, knowing that the fullness of peace, hope, joy and love are not found in isolation or in protected pods, but in faithful relationship with you, with your world, and with all its magnificent and complicated people. We lift up ongoing prayers for successful distribution of vaccines for COVID-19. Shelter us and help us to care for and shelter one another until we are fully protected. We pray for those who are ill and for those who are facing procedures and surgeries this week. We pray for those who battle mental illness on a daily basis and for their loved ones who companion them through hopeful days and through heartbreaking days along their journeys. As we approach the longest night of the year, we pray for those who struggle in mood and spirit during these darkening days. O come, Emmanuel. Help us to hear the whisper of angels' voices, reminding of your presence, your creativity, your love. When we become bogged down by all that seems impossible, bring us light, bring us hope, bring us peace, bring us your promise. O come, Emmanuel. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.